Coming up on another episode of Riverbank Riches, Navigating Financial Wisdom with Desmond Taylor, we're going to finish up our previous conversation that we had on the universal retirement truths. We covered some good ones last time, like income planning, long-term care, inflation, all important things you need to be preparing for. Today, we got some things like diversification, estate planning, and a lot more. Again, one size fits all doesn't work. There are some truths, though, that you should be following and should be addressing with your retirement. Stay tuned. Well, glad to have you back inside another episode of Riverbank Riches with Desmond Taylor. We're navigating financial wisdom. Desmond, of course, is over at CLC Financial. You can find him online, clcfinancial.com. He has his MS in finance from the University of North Carolina, Wilmington, UNC Wilmington. We love the school, and we love the community that he also likes to get out and visit and work with. So, again, you can find everything we talk about today online at clcfinancial.com. Desmond, how's everything today?
Good. It's going good. Going really good.
Good. I love it. Fall. When is pecan season? Is pecan season later?
Yeah, so like it's coming up. Yeah, we got about, we have 3 weeks, I think, until harvest. Now, you know, it depends on when they open up and things like that, but it's usually around 3 weeks. So we got a new, we also are building a new facility. Nice. So we're moving everything for those clients that have come out and seen us. We are building a new facility. It's right off of 41. It's a brand new building. We're putting all of our shelling equipment in there, and there's a store right beside it that has probably been there for 50 years. And it was Ruby's for any of those people that are, you know, familiar with the area, probably not many of you. And we're going to be redoing it and bringing it back to life. So trying to make it better in the community that my parents live in, and add some nice shop for everybody to come and visit, and also be able to see our shelling operation. It's like a little mini factory in there. It reminds me of Willy Wonka. Every time. We just need chocolate. We don't have chocolate, but we need chocolate. And then it'll be like Willy Wonka.
I love it. That's awesome to hear. So we'll maybe share some more information on that down the road. We'll see. But if you know where Ruby's is, I don't personally, but there's probably plenty of people listening that do, then you'll know kind of where that will be located. So we got a lot coming up here on today's show. As I mentioned, we began this conversation last time on universal retirement truths, right? We know that retirement is a unique journey for every single one of us. And you know, even though we like to talk about customized solutions and how we tailor a retirement plan to the individual, there are some things that everybody has to pay attention to. Everybody needs to be aware of. Everybody needs to have a plan for. So we had the first five on our last episode. Today, we're going through the second five. We're going to start off here with the sixth one on our list. And let's begin with diversification, right? So with risk management, we go through a number of different types of risks. I know we talked about reinvestment risk, I think, on our last episode, which the first time I'd heard that, which was a good thing for me to learn. You can go back to our previous episode to hear that. But diversification is essential, right, for risk management. That's our next truth.
Yeah, diversification with risk management is extremely important. And I just reiterate that because, you know, you look at like SVB, Silicon Valley Bank. Why did they go under? Lack of diversification. So it's make or break. So, you know, and this is a bank that had, you know, teams of people who were working on risk management. So they missed relatively simple things. And again, this was it was things that we did for our clients that I look at them when they collapse and I'm like, really, you didn't do that? And so diversification, whenever interest rates are going up, whenever interest rates are going down, whenever you have, you know, you're changing over your, from accumulation to distribution, you need to think about the diversification and don't just think of diversification as, you know, I talked about all the time, you know, S&P 500 fund in your accumulation phase. Well, there's different types of diversification. There's account diversification, interest rate risk, which, you know, you need to diversify against that, whether it's up or down. And there's also, of course, which is your most basic of just being diversified against unsystemic risk. Now, systemic risk, which is broad market, you can't necessarily diversify against that. That just means the whole market's had a bad year. But you can't control how the market's going to do, but you can control how negative or how, hopefully not negative, how low, even though there could be some positive returns, how, you know, because there's a certain amount of return that you need for your retirement to sustain, but how you can control those returns in your retirement to make sure that you are maintaining the lifestyle and quality of life that you want. So diversification is very important, and it can be missed even by a whole team of people who are paid millions of dollars as a whole group to diversify a bank. It can be missed by them. So it can definitely be missed by an individual. So making sure you have a all-weather portfolio is very important during your retirement.
Yeah, just using that as an example, it's a perfect reason why you work with someone, right? So to get help and to make sure, because trying to do this by yourself in many cases is way too overwhelming and too difficult for just any normal retiree to try to pull off. So
not even retiree, you know, people who are looking, you know, you still have a job, hopefully by the time you start planning for retirement. So you're going to go to your job every day and you're going to make sure that you're well diversified for retirement. And there's teams of people over here who have even failed at doing it. So you just have to make sure that you're doing it correctly. And it's, we have a team here that does it. So it's, you know, it's an individual's, it's not easy to do.
All right, our next retirement truth then is dealing with emotions. We want to take that out of investing and out of any kind of financial decision we make, but because the truth of the matter is that emotions are going to be the investor's worst enemy.
Yeah, so, you know, behavioral finance is a huge, I took a liking to it when I was getting my graduate degree is behavioral finance. It is amazing because you take a look at everything and you take a look at all the complex financial formulas, ratios, you know, all these equations that go into making these different indices. And if you look at the commonality between them all is they use, you know, they try to relate everything back to natural sciences, which is that you have a known variable. And there's in behavioral finance, it talks about, which is, you know, mainly is the unknown variable, which is the person. And the person is a irrational person sometimes, most of the time, I would say, especially those that are not disciplined or that follow the market every day. And it's not even that you're just irrational. It's just that you tend to study after study after study. You know, people tend to buy high and sell low, you know, when they're looking at it every day. And you need to make sure that you have a plan that you know is robust. And even if you're in a, you know, volatile, you know, you're in a volatile fund that over time is, you know, having great returns, you're going to have to sit there during those down years and stomach it out. And so for some people, they can't do that and they don't have to do that. You know, you can accomplish retirement with, you know, I think we can put together income plans with a lot less return than I think some people think. And they don't have to sit there and open up their statements every day and be worried about it. And they think, okay, well, if my returns, you know, this year I was up, you know, 100%. Oh, that's great. How much were you down last year? You know, if I can average you, you know, 5-6%, you know, somewhere in that range every year and not have you going down 30-40% and then going back up, you know, I went up 50%. Oh, that's great. You were, you know, down 40% last year. Okay, well, you know, if you have $100 and you were down 40%, now you're down to, let's just use this example. You have $100. You're down 10%. All right, you're at $90. Well, you go back up 10%. Well, now you're at $99. So you never actually made it back to the 100. So it doesn't really matter about how, you know, how much you're up this year. What were your returns like last year? What were the returns like the year before that? What are you averaging? Because a lower average with less volatility is going to be better during your retirement than a higher average with more volatility, because you're taking income during these years and this income is going to affect everything. If you're taking income during a down year from an account that's down 50%, if you take $500,000 and you take returns of around 6% and you average the 6% returns over a 15-year time span, that is exactly the years 2000 to 2015, and you're taking $30,000 out from a $500,000 account in year 15, you're going to be out of money.
Yeah, taking the emotions out of it is so critical, and you know, knowing how to withdraw, and we kind of, that's tied into a couple of things we talked about, I think, so far on this retirement truth. And you know, it kind of even takes us to our next one, which you've kind of worked into a few different answers, which, you know, explains and helps you kind of realize it is very crucial for retirement. But you know, understanding those tax consequences of your investments is essential, right? So just being mindful of that and knowing how to best withdraw money, how to best structure your income plan so that you're getting the most out of it is important. So the truth here is that tax implications matter.
They do. They do. Tax implications, how you take the income is extremely important. You know, we alluded to this in the previous one too. It matters. And the emotions, take the emotions out of it.
All right, let's go to a good one that I think it's not as financial, right? It's more kind of a behavior and lifestyle. But retirement itself doesn't necessarily mean you have to completely disengage from work, right? So there's plenty of retirees now, especially with this kind of remote work capability, just a lot of flexibility in jobs, the gig economy that's out there. There's a lot of opportunities out there for people to find work if they want to work, and a lot of people do. So just because traditionally it's always been, okay, you're retired, no more work for you, that's not the case anymore.
I think there's a lot to be said, and there's a lot of studies about stopping working and cognitive decline in people, and especially when you get older, is, you know, working, doing something, finding something to do is healthy for you. I think people who just stop working in retirement, they do it for a couple of months, maybe even a year, and they say, man, I need to find something to do. And they usually pick up some hobbies or some part-time job or, you know, something like that. And it's really beneficial. It's beneficial. It can be beneficial to your plan, whether, you know, if you're paid. If not, then, you know, hey, it's beneficial to your health to do that. So, you know, that's where we start with clients, and we sit down and we say, hey, what does your retirement look like? Is your retirement you just stopping? And for those that say, yes, I'm done at this age, well, we usually find about a year later, they're coming back when we have our next, when we have our annual meetings, they're saying, you know, I picked up that job. Yeah. You know, I'm helping out here, there, I'm volunteering, or, you know, I found this new hobby or something, because they can't sit around all day. And so, it's important to figure out. And so when we plan for people for retirement, even those that say that, you know, hey, I'm just going to stop working, we made the plan robust just in case they do. But, you know, there's always that factor in there that they're going to be doing something, or they're going to have an active lifestyle. I should say, people that say, I'm just not going to be doing anything. No, you're going to be spending money doing something. You're going to be bored. You're going to be spending money doing something.
Yeah. And to your point, I think a lot of it with finding things to do is not just about making money, right? It's about the social connections that you form. Yeah. It's about the cognitive side of things, right? Staying mentally active. So there's a lot of benefits to it. So don't think that retirement means you got to completely cut off work altogether and be done with it. There's still a lot of value in staying busy.
And Ben, between you and I, you know, social connections do cost money.
That is true. Depends on what that social connection might be. It might be pretty expensive too, potentially. Yeah. So something to think about. All right, let's close out our list. We have going through 10 universal retirement truths here on Riverbank Riches. And we're going to close out with estate planning, kind of wrap it all up with this. You know, estate planning, regardless of where you are financially, right, you can benefit from an estate plan. You know, just making sure your assets are distributed as you wish. So the truth here is that estate planning isn't just for the wealthy.
It's really hard to stress the importance of how estate planning is beneficial for everyone. It blows my mind, and some people are going to be, I know there's going to be people that listen to this and they're like, I don't have a will, he's talking about me. But you need an estate plan. You need, at the very least, a will. Get a second opinion on those. And again, you know, we're not attorneys. We can recommend some great estate attorneys that would do a good job. But I think it is important to always get a second opinion on, you know, a lot of things, including retirement, but especially wills that you have drawn up that are for free, because they can name beneficiaries wrong. Or, you know, people may even have a tendency of naming their children as beneficiaries. And if the children are under 18, it will go down to the clerk of the court, and the clerk of the court will hold those funds until they're 18. When we had the Tax Cut and Jobs Act, it changed a lot of not only the, you know, tax brackets that we experience every day, but it changed a lot of the estate taxes. And in 2025, that Tax Cuts and Jobs Act is going to expire if nothing is done. And that will change a lot of the estate planning laws. You know, traditionally, we used life insurance here for a lot of estate planning, and that was to pay a lot of the taxes for our higher net worth clients that have that run into these estate planning laws, or taxes that come in upon passing and being passed to beneficiaries. And I think we'll see a lot of that come back around and come into play if nothing happens. So estate planning's it's complicated. It usually involves a lot of parties. I think that we do a really good job of directing clients to the right direction. Now, of course, we can't do, we're not attorneys, so we're not CPAs here, but we do, do the investments, and we will, you know, do life insurance, and we do all the things that you need to put together an effective estate plan. And we can work closely with you, closely with the attorneys, closely with the CPAs to make sure that you do have a robust estate plan. And it's important. And it's not, again, it's, you know, reiterating, it's not just for high net worth people. Everybody needs an estate plan. Probate can be expensive, and you can, you know, get around a lot of those probate costs and going through the court system and all the fighting just by naming beneficiaries. And that's not, that doesn't, you know, somebody that's not necessarily, I guess, high net worth, you can name your beneficiaries on your investment accounts, and that bypasses probate. And it's something easy. It's a couple of minute conversation, paperwork, boom, boom. We even do DocuSign on a lot of this stuff, and it shoot it to you, DocuSign. If you DocuSign, it's, you know, you click sign, it automatically takes you down to the next page, click sign. Hopefully you're reading it all, but it's, you know, you just sign it and then you shoot it back. And it's like, how easy is that? It's just naming beneficiaries. You can name beneficiaries on your bank account. A lot of people don't know you can name beneficiaries on your bank account. And a lot of that helps, you know, just doing those things are just, you know, low cost, you know, gas to the bank to do this stuff. And for us, it's not even gas to us. It's just, you know, an email fired off to you.
Estate planning is important, and it's a great one to kind of close out this list. I mean, this isn't everything, but these are some really, really, really important items that you need to be planning for, be thinking about. And if you haven't done so, make sure it's a priority for you, right? We're getting close to the end of the year. It's a great time to be thinking through some of these things, having discussions. And if you haven't talked with someone, you can always reach out to Desmond, the team at CLC Financial Services, online, clcfinancial.com, or over the phone, 910-323-5700. Make sure you check out that first part of our discussion as well to get the complete list of 10 universal retirement truths. All right, I got a question I want to throw your way that came in from Randall, Desmond, that I thought was a good one. It kind of ties into what we've been talking about in terms of retirement truths and things you have to be planning for that oftentimes can get overlooked if you don't work with somebody, right, that's a professional. So Randall's question is, I've never worked with a financial advisor, but I'm thinking it might be time to get started as I get closer to retirement. What are the things I'd most likely mess up if I try to do it on my own?
A lot of decisions, there's a lot of complicated decisions that you're coming up on. And I think I've said this before too, is retirement planning is like a birthday party. If you plan far enough ahead, you have a good birthday party. And retirement planning is very similar. You plan far enough ahead and you have a good retirement. But there's certain things, you know, a lot of these Roth accounts that we're doing Roth conversions a lot of times for our clients. And the reason we're doing these Roth conversions is because where do most people contribute to their retirement? It's in their 401k. Okay, well, Roth accounts and 401ks didn't come out until early 2000s is when the first Roth was introduced into 401ks. And so a lot of these people had traditional accounts and they were contributing to them. They were getting the match. All of that's great. I would say for the people who have Roth in there now, that's the way to go. But, you know, if you didn't, you need to think about Roth conversions. Those are a potential huge, that is where you can hedge the most against taxes. When we talk about, you know, hedging against different types of things, we talked about diversification earlier. Account diversification, account diversification includes Roth accounts, and that's hedging against future taxes because, you know, based on our fiscal spending and all the, you know, money that's being pumped in, I don't see taxes necessarily going down in the future. Social Security was once at zero. Now Social Security is at 85%, can be up to 85%. Doing effective Roth conversions, but before you're doing it, making sure that it makes sense. We can get pretty darn close using the financial calculators that we have here to figure out what doing these conversions will cost you and what your next day, of course, and works with your CPA of what doing these conversions are going to cost you and if they make sense. Roth conversions, I don't think people understand that, you know, Roth conversions, they really matter to the client and they help against future tax burdens and they're really important, but it's not necessarily for everyone. And how much you do is extremely dependent on a multitude of factors. So Roth conversions is definitely one of, you know, I would say, yeah, Ben and I were joking about this earlier, you know, if you even think about Roth conversions, you need to talk to somebody because you just thinking about them, you're going to mess them up. I mean, they're complicated. You need to make sure we ask for a W-2 when we're doing Roth conversions from people to put into our calculator. And I don't think most people are going to take their W-2 and put it in or even have, you know, the calculators to get the outputs on this. And so that's how complicated it is for us. You know, we need your W-2. We go down line items, we put it in. So an individual is not going to do that. And then I would say also Social Security. Social Security is one of, and we teach, our classes revolve around Social Security. Social Security Roth conversions are what our classes revolve around that we teach at the colleges. And these Social Security is extremely convoluted. And how to say, I can't tell you how many questions I get on Social. That is the number one questions that I get on Social Security. And I would also say with my age, it's what helps me the most is the knowledge that I have around Social Security, because people look at me and they're like, you know, you're so young to be in the industry. And then I start talking about Social Security and they're like, man, this guy knows more about Social Security than I do. And I've, you know, 50 years older than he is. But it's because I have to for the client's sake, because Social Security is extremely important. You base your retirement around Social Security. If you take the amount of benefit that you have, you know, you take, you know, some people are getting, you know, $3,000, $2,500, you know, a month off of Social Security, you think about how much money that takes to produce that kind of income for 30 years, you know, guaranteed. It's a tremendous amount. That's why the Social Security Administration is under so much strain, is because the amount of income that's paid out and the amount, how it has to be guaranteed. That's why pension plans aren't around anymore, is because it's such a liability on the company to maintain these pension plans. So just think about the amount of money that you have sitting up there to make sure that your Social Security is paid out. So, you know, people... I was talking with somebody the other day and they were just saying, you know, that their wife is like 62 and she's going to go ahead and take Social Security and she's going to get 50% of my Social Security. And I go, well, how old are you? And he hasn't reached 70 yet. And I'm like, well, have you started drawing Social Security? And he goes, no. And I'm like, what's your wife's full retirement age? And he's like, well, 67. And I'm like, she's going to start at 62 and get half of yours? No, that's not how that works. And so it's important to understand that. So people, I would say people are always, it seems like, mess up their Roth conversions. If they're thinking about them, they're going to mess them up, because it's not simple calculations. Social Security can be calculated, and the calculations for Social Security are relatively simple. It's just you have to know what inputs affect Social Security, and you have to know the rules and regulations and laws around Social Security to make the wrong decisions, because can so often be ill-informed on Social Security. If you call up to the Social Security Administration and ask them a question, and then call back up 5 minutes later, get somebody else, ask them a question, they're going to give you a different answer. And then on the Social Security website, I talk about this in my workshops, it says, at what age should I take Social Security? And it says, the age you take Social Security is ultimately up to you. It's your decision, and it's up to you to figure out when you should take Social Security. So they're not going to even tell you when you should take Social Security. And so all of this is really important, and people just tend to mess it up, you know, and it's not too late to come in if you've already taken Social Security, especially if your wife hasn't or one of you haven't taken it. But if you both have, then I would say, okay, you've both started taking Social Security. And then I didn't even talk about widow's benefits and spouse and divorce benefit, you know, everything else that Social Security gets into, but without going down a rabbit hole.
Yeah.
On this, even if you have taken Social Security early for whatever reason, you decided to take it at a certain age because whatever your thinking was behind it, you know, I'm not going to come in and criticize you on that. That's far from what I'm going to do, because it's already been done. I'm in the boat of, okay, something's happened. You know, it's even when milk spills, I'm like, okay, it's happened, whatever, let's clean it up, whatever it takes. So if you haven't taken it, okay, well, if you haven't taken it, but you're under 73 or 75, or you haven't started taking RMDs yet, well, now we need to position your accounts to make sure that, okay, how's your taxes going to be affected? Can we do Roth conversions? How can we position your accounts knowing that you're taking Social Security now to at least still minimize taxes in the future? So what we build our retirement plans around is income and taxes, because taxes are going to be your biggest expense. And then we build in legacy planning and all of that. But it's important, even if you've taken it, it's still not too late. You can do something about it. I can't tell you how many people at my workshops are like, oh, you know, this stuff is great, but, you know, I'm 70 years old. I've already started taking Social Security. And I'm like, no, it's not too late, because do you have IRA assets over here? Okay, well, we can still, you know, convert these, or we can do, you know, we can design some income plans that are going to save you on taxes. And, you know, sometimes it gets across, sometimes it doesn't, you know, those are the things that are important. If you haven't taken Social Security, and if you're not having to take RMDs, then you need to come in, because you will pay Social Security and RMDs and, you know, there's even a Medicare tax. You know, your Medicare is based off your income, and you can get, and capital gains tax. You can get to I even show examples. I can pull it up here. If nobody believes me, come in and make an appointment, because I can show you on a screen here where there's 50%, you can get to a 50% tax bracket so fast. And the example is not even somebody making a tremendous amount in retirement. It's just like, you know, somebody pulling in a normal income that a retiree would pull in, and they just do the wrong levers. And now all of a sudden they're paying 50% tax because they wanted to visit their grandkids down in Florida, and they bought a plane ticket bucket using traditional IRA money versus, you know, some Roth money that we would have designed. And it was like $2,000. And they're at like a 50% tax because of that. So, you know, you really need to make sure that you know how to do those things. Chances are you don't. I don't know how to do your job. So that's where you need to come in, and we need to sit down and figure out how to take income and what are the appropriate ways to take income.
Yeah, those two things, or a couple of things you mentioned, seem like they'd be pretty straightforward on the surface, right? On Social Security, I can pick it at 62 or I can wait to 70. It's, you know, it's just pick a number, right? And Roth conversions, I never would think you're just moving money over, right? And paying some taxes on it. You wouldn't think it's a big deal there either. So I think that's a couple of great examples, Randall, of things that might seem relatively simple on the surface. And we didn't even get into some deeper stuff and dig in a little bit on those. So there's a lot more to it, but
oh, there's
a couple
of
examples
holes.
There.
You can, I mean, we're Bud's Bunny hopping down in the, you know, over here that you could go all day long. So on these things. So that's where it's just, it's, that's where, again, starts with the individual. Everything's kind of, you know, people don't think that it's custom, but it really is custom with us. And, you know, you go and you talk to your person that you've had for years and you're getting close to 60 and your advisor hasn't talked to you about income or Roth conversions or even Social Security timing. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Why have those not been brought up? Chances are he doesn't do them. And then you go back to him and you say, hey, look, I need to talk about these things. And he's like, oh yeah, go ahead and take it at 70 because that's the latest you can retire. No, don't do that. Maybe take it at 70, maybe not. And we can right. tell you how to take it and when to take it.
Well, start off by going to clcfinancial.com. Randall, if you want to get into a deeper discussion on that too, that's a great place to start. The phone number as well for CLC Financial is 910-323-5700. And the team there has over nearly a half a century of worth of experience in this. So there's a reason why they've been around so long and been helping people in that Fayetteville area and the community, surrounding communities for so long. So again, if you want to get in touch and follow up on that topic or anything we've talked about today on the show, we always encourage you to do so. All right, Desmond, as always, a pleasure catching up with you again, and we'll do it soon.
Thanks, Ben.
Securities and advisory services offered through Creative One Securities, LLC member, FINRA, SIPC, and an investment advisor. CLC Financial Services, LLC, and Creative One Securities, LLC are not affiliated. Medical products are not offered by Creative One Securities, LLC. They may be purchased through a licensed insurance professional. Licensed insurance professional, we are an independent financial services firm helping individuals create retirement strategies using a variety of investment and insurance products to custom suit their needs and objectives. This material has been prepared for informational and educational purposes only. It is not intended to provide and should not be relied upon for accounting, legal, tax, or investment advice. Investing involves risk, including the loss of principal. Insurance and annuity products are backed by the financial strength and claims-paying ability of the issuing insurance company. We are not affiliated with any government agency.